Some people cite the passage of Romans chapter 13 in the Bible, which tells us that as Christians we should obey the government. They cite that to basically say that America's founders were in error and they were in sin when they declared independence. We're going to talk about that right now with Gary DeMar, who's the founder of Wall of AmericanVision.org. And Gary DeMar wrote a whole series of books called God and Government. And this is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Gary, it's great to have you back on the program. And I've got to say something. I've learned a lot through the years about America's Christian heritage and learned a lot through D. James Kennedy, my direct mentor and so forth. But I first learned about some of the basic stuff through your books, and in particular, Volume 1 of America, God and Government book. It's very good. Thank you.
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for D. James Kennedy, because I was a member at Coral Ridge and then went to seminary from Coral Ridge and to RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. So I really got my whole start in Christian worldview thinking, America's Christian history, applying the Bible to every area of life, you know, from Dr. Kennedy.
All right. Very good. Now, Romans 13, let's get right to it. First of all, I'm sure you've heard the kind of argument that I mentioned, that some people think that, you know, hey, the America's founders were wrong in the American Revolution.
Well, I think the first thing you have to determine here is that Romans 13 talks in very absolute terms, and you'll see that find the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 2. And yet you find examples of, for example, the Apostle Peter saying we must obey God rather than men. You'll find, the Apostle Paul calling out the Roman civil magistrate in Acts chapter 16 when they beat him and imprisoned him and they wanted to let him go silently. And he appealed to his own Roman citizenship, said, absolutely not. We want essentially what we want here is a public admission of being not guilty with what you're charging us with. So, yes, the Bible does speak in absolute terms in Romans 13, 1 Peter chapter 2, but there are all kinds of exceptions throughout the Bible where people disobeyed the civil magistrate. They disobeyed the ecclesiastical authorities in the example of Peter. And you find the midwives of disobeying Pharaoh. You find Daniel and his three friends disobeying the government there. So even though Paul and Peter deal with absolute terms, they also maintain that all of Scripture is inspired, and you have to look at all of it, all the different examples, to see what we ought to do in terms of dealing with the civil magistrate. Now, I'm not a believer in revolutions. I think it's a mistake to define the American Revolution as an American Revolution. I don't think it's a revolution at all. It was a war for independence, and I think there's a big difference.
Yes.
If you want to talk about a real revolution, I think you're talking about the French Revolution or the Russian Revolution.
Yes.
And we know what happened in France. I mean, they literally chopped people's heads off for just having known or worked for the king and the queen, setting up a guillotine in the town square and lopping people's heads off. That's not what happened in the war for independence. There was a Declaration of Independence that laid out the cause. You had 13 individual governments with their own governors, their own laws, their own constitutions. So it was a jurisdictional separation from England, and I think that the colonies were right in this. And then it ended up being a war that had to be fought in order to secure that independence.
Yes, okay, that's a very good point. And in fact, I think if one looks at John Adams as an example, we see a man who is very principled, and he's a key founding father, absolutely key. I mean, he's the one who even suggested, hey, I think the man to lead the troops is George Washington, and the rest is history, as they say. But
right.
John Adams, you know, he, as an attorney, he took the very unpopular stance of defending the British troops that were involved in the Boston Massacre. And he said, you know, facts are a funny thing or whatever. Facts are a stubborn thing. But he also later on, when he understood more and more about, you know, what Great Britain was trying to do and trying to impose, he said the rule of law requires us that, you know, they allow us to have, you know, our rights as British citizens, and they're not doing that, and they're violating the British law, and they're even violating the principles of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah. The Declaration was a legal argument, and I think we as Christians need to be very careful about these kind of like what Antifa has been doing for the last year and a half, just going around and wreaking havoc in order to try to bring down the system. And I think, you know, something like the Boston Massacre probably falls within that in that spectrum.
You mean like an Antifa attack?
This was a legal argument. And we have to also understand that the Bible deals with lesser magistrates. And the Reformation, the Reformers spent a lot of time dealing with lesser magistrate arguments. There were 13 individual governments who had, you know, their own constitutions, their own civil sphere of authority, essentially saying no to the greater magistrate that was imposing unrighteous and illegal, restraints upon, you know, what were at one time colonies.
So as far as the, you know, Romans 13 principles, you would say that John Adams wasn't violating that, or George Washington wasn't, you know, when they took up arms basically to defend their homes.
Well, yeah, they were defending their own constitutions, and they saw that what was happening with Great Britain was a violation of that. I don't think they took up arms in a defensive way. I don't think they were after a revolution. Again, you compare this with France. France started their revolution with a new year one. They established reason as their fundamental god. They changed the Christian biblical week from a 7-day week to a 10-day week. And yet, if you look at the Constitution of the United States, which actually takes you back to the Declaration of Independence, a lot of people don't realize that. But the Constitution of the United States links with the Declaration of Independence in its closing statement. But it also says this was done in the year of our Lord, 1787. The War for Independence maintained the moral order and the jurisdictional prerogatives of that moral order by these individual states, you know, essentially defending their homeland against what was in reality an imposition of a higher power and a broken, you know, covenant with the states.
Now, as far as Romans 13 is concerned, when it talks about we must obey the government, in the American context, what does that mean for the average American, you and I?
Well, I think, again, you go back to those, what government were we talking about? Of course, it says the authorities. What authorities were we talking about in the 18th century? Well, the most immediate authority that you had were, in fact, the states. The states were authorities. Which one do you obey? Do you obey the greater magistrate or the lesser magistrate? Our own Constitution says very specifically, the 10th Amendment states that the only those powers that are listed in the Constitution does the national government have. They don't have any other powers. All those powers are left to the states, and if not to the states, to the individuals. So here we have in our own Constitution a provision that says we can, in effect, at the state level, the lesser magistrate level, we can, in effect, say no to a federal government that usurps the power, the authority of the states, and imposes its will upon the states that is contrary to the Constitution, and we are then now protected by our states and governors and in our own Constitution.
So therefore,
there's no violation of Romans 13.
So basically, the ruler in America is the Constitution. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sure. It's in fact, you could even go so far as to say it's our Caesar. You know, we're supposed to render under Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Well, we don't live under a Caesar. We don't live under a monarch. we live under the Constitution of the United States that the people we put into office took an oath to uphold. And the First Amendment to the Constitution is very, very clear that we can petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's the First Amendment. And then we go down to the Tenth Amendment. It says, look, the powers that the national government doesn't have reside with the states. So if the federal government usurps those powers and imposes the will upon the states that the Constitution doesn't have, the states are within their constitutional and biblical authority to oppose it. And we're seeing that across the United States, and I think it's a good thing. We're not starting, this isn't a revolution. They're following the constitutional provisions that empower them and give them the authority in order to do that. We're seeing that in states like Florida and Texas.
You know, one of the great things, too, about the Constitution is based on the Christian principles that we find in the Bible, that man is basically sinful, therefore power must be divided. But if you contrast, let's say, the tyrannies in this world, you have power accumulated in one or two hands, or, you know, maybe in the hands of a small group of people. But that's a very different thing than what you have with the Constitution, where it empowers we the people, but we the people are so sinful that the Founding Fathers made sure they tried to protect us not only from the government, but even from our fellow citizens, if that makes sense, because we're sinful. And that's like the first step towards great freedom is understanding man is basically sinful, and you got to build a government based on that reality. And if you don't, you're going to end up with tyranny ultimately.
Yeah, in fact, if you go back and look at the Reformers laid all of this out in various ways. John Calvin did this. Rutherford, you know, did this. John Knox, they all laid out the Romans 13 and its relationship to other passages in Scripture. And one of the things they said was that tyranny was actually better than anarchy. That the having individuals, every individual is doing what is right in his own eyes was actually worse. But they still developed this principle of the lesser magistrate. And our constitutional framers, not all of them were Christians, we have to admit that, but they all understood what you've said, is that and this is why Thomas Jefferson said, because of the character and sinful nature of man, I don't know if he used that particular word, they needed to be bound or chained down by a constitution, limiting their powers. And think about that. You've got the President of the United States, you have the Supreme Court and its lesser courts, and then you have a divided Congress with the Senate and the House of Representatives. And that divided government, if followed constitutionally, keeps the national government in check. And then you have the provision of the 10th Amendment, which keeps the national government in check as well, because now you have 50 individual states that could stand up against the federal government without a war, without a revolution, essentially exercising their 10th Amendment rights to say no to the federal government, which then creates a buffer for the people. So the state governments, county governments, and state governments kind of builds a wall to protect us against the national government and its tyranny.
All right, we have about a minute left. What would you say would be the solution to restoring, you know, greater liberty in the United States?
I think the first place you have to start, with the two places you have to start, repentance and secondly, knowledge. You need those two things. And Christians need to understand how all this works. And I wrote a book, three volumes. It's now into one volume called God and Government. And it deals with self-government, family government, church government, civil government, all instituted by God, all decentralized, all limited in power, and each having its own jurisdictional basis, in, which gives them legitimacy. You pull all that together, Christians and the rest of the United States, the people, did not look to the state to be their provider, we would see a transformed United States.
Self-government under God. AmericanVision.org for more information. Gary, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.